Well, it's a real pleasure for me to be with you this morning, and really do pray and trust that the Lord will bless our time together. Let's just open in prayer, shall we? Our Father, we give Thee thanks again as we come into Thy holy presence. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been thinking much of Him already today. We thank Thee for His sacrifice at Calvary, and we thank Thee that He truly is the one who is our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend, and our Lord. We pray for each one gathered here this morning that they might have come to know Him. And should there be any that know Him not, that they will, even today, think seriously about their soul's eternal welfare and put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of these wonderful truths that are within Thy Word, and we would ask Thee to give help as we would seek to open them up together, and that we would look into the Scriptures with a greater desire that we might learn a little bit more of Thy great purposes for the present and for the future as we even look back into the past. So we would ask again that each one will be blessed this day as we would commit it to Thy care in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a real pleasure, as I said, for me to come to be with you. I almost feel that I know this assembly so well because of the Cairns and the McDougalls that have come into our part of the world, and they certainly speak very highly of you. And it's just wonderful to get to know some of you, and probably over this week get to know you, to know you a little better, and you to know us too a little bit more. The desire of my heart today is to, and this week, is to look at events that are still yet future. And of course, when we look at the future, we have to look a little bit at the past too, and relate it to the present, and then we'll look at the events that are coming. We're living in a very fascinating age, and world events certainly around us are moving towards the coming of the end times, and we'll look at that a little bit more in depth as we go along. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want to read three portions this morning. I just want to really give an introduction to where we're going to be going this week. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and ye are established in the present truth. Yea, I think it is meet or fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time or at any time in the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now over to Revelation chapter 1, the book of Revelation chapter 1, is for a verse there. Let's begin at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore witness of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. Finally, over to the epistle to the Romans. Back to the Romans in chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatever things were written in past time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be one mind, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us of the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, or a minister to the nation of Israel, for the circumcision is the nation of Israel, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the nations and sing unto thy name. I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Usually when we think of prophecy, and certainly in our recent times, it has often been related to by many in terms of speculation, a lot of speculation. Little things happen, and of course people, even with good intention, try to bring it into some kind of prophetic aspect. And because of that, there's a lot of distortion to the prophetic truth of the Word of God. And I say that very cautiously as I begin, because what I want to do this week is not look at things in a speculative way, but look at things from the doctrine of truth that is associated with it in the Scriptures. Having said that, then we notice that Peter, in particular, that's why I came in to Peter first of all, and you will appreciate as we go through this series with you that there are so many Scriptures that could be read in connection with what we're dealing with. We'd have to read the whole Bible to really fully grasp the whole of God's prophetic program. And so there will be aspects of truth that we'll be dealing with that will have a lot more Scriptures associated with them, and it's my desire and prayer is that we're only just going to take a look at it and you'll go home and do a lot of homework in it. There's a tremendous blessing to looking at some of these things in a very personal way. Another reason too that as we look at these things is because of the time frame that we're living in. We're coming to the close, I believe, of the dispensation of the grace of God, and there's an urgency, I think, that people need to be reminded that there is days that are coming that they have to relate to in a personal way. And certainly if you don't know the Savior in this gathering, then the matter is really very urgent. You need to get the matter settled now as to where you're heading for in eternity. So these are just some of the things that have been in my mind at the beginning. Now when Peter takes us, brings this before us, he's talking about the fact that he's leaving. His days on earth are just about finished. And he wants to leave something behind that will leave an impact on those that were his hearers then and the believers that obviously were under his care and ministry. And so he wants to impart to them something that will be with them for the rest of their days. and certainly help them to maintain the testimony of God in their generation. I think that, of course, is true as we go through each generation, that there is always a constant need that the present generation that's coming up need to be impacted for their generation and day, in which they will become responsible to carry on the same testimony in days that lie beyond that. Paul, of course, alludes to that, doesn't he, in 1 Timothy, when he's speaking to the young man Timothy, that you know, that faithful men of God spake, and as they spoke, it was with a view that those that were being taught would take the same truths and impart them to the next generation that come along. And so when Peter begins to deal with leaving something behind, he doesn't take them to that scene that he experienced with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He reminds them of it, that he had the experience of seeing the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, of course, is a preview of the millennial glory of the Lord Jesus. We'll deal with that a little later on in the week. The glory of the Lord Jesus when he comes in kingly power and majesty. This whole world will see that. And so he just gets a momentary glimpse of that experience when he was with the Lord Jesus on the Holy Mount. That mountain was just an ordinary mountain, but oh, what a difference when the Lord Jesus was there. It was a whole different experience for these disciples. And so he says, he's beginning now as he's writing to these people who never had that experience, that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now he's beginning to establish in their minds and their hearts that the prophetic truth of God's word already been revealed and made known is far more sure than any personal experience that anyone might come along with. And I think that's important. It's certainly in the generation and days that we're living in now, when anything wild and wonderful seems to be happening, we need to get back to the basic truths of the Word of God and understand prophecy as it is revealed to us in the Word of God, for that's where it's much more sure and certainly much more richer. Because there is no question that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. No question about that. And the prophetic truth deals with that in a very real way. Now, when he deals with the aspect and the subject of prophecy, he says it is a light that shines in a dark place. Oh my, isn't it true that this world that we're living in today has never been darker? And down through the generations of time, there have been periods in history when that darkness has been prevalent. But as we're moving on into this new century that we've just entered into, the days are getting darker by the minute. World conditions are getting desperate. The truth of the Word of God is becoming more and more clear, isn't it? More and more sure. Even though those in darkness don't even know anything about it, but we have a light that shines in the dark place. And as we look at the light of Scripture, it unfolds to us the revelation of truth that God is still on the throne, that the purposes of God will be fulfilled, that God is working to a plan and a purpose, as well as a timetable. Now, we're in this dispensation of the grace of God when there is no time limit given to it. But in the other aspects of truth, there has been time frames in which God has worked in the past and will work again in the future in coming days. And we'll touch a little about that as we go along. So one of the great aspects of coming to read and understand and grasp prophetic truth is this, that it's a light in the dark place. We need that light to shine a little brighter as the days get darker in our own hearts. Because you see, there is a time frame for that too, isn't there? It's until the day dawns and the day star arises in our hearts, and that will take place at the rapture of the church. And we'll say a little bit about that too as we go along the way. Secondly, the aspect of prophetic truth is also a means of bringing to us hope in a hopeless situation. When you come to Romans, particularly in chapter 15, We see again the great central truth of prophecy is centered in a person, and that person is the hope of the fulfillment of the promises that God has made to Israel, and is also the very means of bringing to the nations, the Gentile nations that is, the mercy of God. And as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ in particular, he has a relationship to Israel in the past. He has a tremendous relation to Israel in the future, as we'll see. But for us today, in this dispensation of his grace, when he's dealing with the world not in government and in judgment, but in mercy and in love, he is still the central character and person that every member of humanity must relate to, one way or another. And you are in there, and so am I. And I'm glad that I came to know him as my Savior when I was 14 years of age. I'm glad that I came to know him as my Savior then, because he is still the greatest person in the universe. And you need him. If you don't know him this morning, you need him. And if you do know him, you need to get to know more about him. The more we are in his presence, the more we read his word, the more we'll learn a little bit more about our Savior. And hopefully we'll do that. But against the background of dark days, there is light that shines. Against the background of hopelessness in a world that we live in, there is hope. And that hope comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is working his purposes out to bring that to us. Now, in the Old Testament scriptures, we have prophecy unfolded to us of coming events. In the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, we have prophecy unveiled to us. The veil is taken away. Now, let me say this just in passing. We'll touch on it much later on, but let me say this in passing. That in relation to the church of God, there is no prophetic word apart from the revelation that the Lord Jesus gives to his own, particularly in the upper room, and certainly the ministry that comes in through the apostles later on in the epistles. The great hope of the church is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we are waiting for. As far as the Old Testament scriptures are concerned, and the revelation of prophetic truth, it is in relation to the Lord Jesus coming, not for his church, which he will do, of course, we'll look at that, but his coming to the earth, his coming to reign, his coming to take up universal government. And my, this world desperately needs that. But it's got a tough time to go before it gets there, as we'll see as the week goes along. And so we're looking at the tremendous truth that the Lord Jesus is coming again. Firstly, for his church. That's every person who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Have you done it? I wanted to ask you personally this morning, have you done it? You can be a member of any church in this city of Moncton and not be in the true church, which is the body of Christ. You can be a member in any church, your name on the roll, but the only way that you can come into being part of the true church of God is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and become part of that wonderful body, that tremendous body that will go on into eternity in a very unique and personal way related to the Lord Jesus. And we'll touch, of course, that as we go along, just touching a few things that we'll take a look at as the week unfolds. And so there is hope. And how good it is this morning that we're looking at the scriptures that bring that great hope to us. Now, I want to turn to the chart now for a moment or two, just so that we can grasp a little bit of what we're saying. I'm indebted to our brother Sam Cairns, who brought this chart, not this particular one, but this chart to me about 3 years ago. And we used to talk a little bit when he came to Port Coburn at first about things that were coming, had a lot of good discussions, and he brought this back one day and he said, I think you could use this. He says, I'll give it to you on one condition, that you spend time in it and you take it up with a view to teaching it. Now, it's one thing to learn it for yourself, It's another thing to teach it out. And so that was a big task. And so I said, well, I certainly appreciate you bringing it to me. A lot of, I can remember as a young man hearing some of these truths being taught, but in the latter years not taught as much as it used to be. And so it really got me into that, and I must say that it's been so much a blessing to my own soul. And you can spend hours on it, never ever exhaust it. This is an inexhaustible subject that we're looking at. And so we're just touching a few things through it. And I've used it a few times, and so each time that I come to it, I seem to take it from a whole different perspective, and yet we'll look at the broad aspects of truth. Now I have to say that in the time frame that we're dealing with it, in the few nights that I'm here, we're going to look at the broad aspect of things, and hope that you'll go into detail. You'll notice the different colours in the chart. Whoever designed this, I don't know, it came from here, so the brother would probably... Leslie Wills. He put a lot of time into that and a lot of thought. Now, of course, when you're dealing with prophetic truth, the greatest Bible teachers in the world differ on certain issues. You will appreciate that. But this is tremendously well laid out. Personally, when we come to the Great Tribulation, I would like to see a little bit more in there, but this is just, you know, you can only get so much in a chart, but that's fine, because we'll be dealing with some of the things that even are not in the chart. But I like the colours here, the way he's done it, because you'll notice the black here, and tonight we're going to look at the pathway of the serpent. The serpent, of course, who is Satan, and I won't get into that right now, but we're going to deal with the pathway of the serpent to get a full understanding of why things are the way they are even now, and what's yet ahead. We have to understand the background as to this tremendous character who has came into the page of history, created by God, the greatest angel that God ever created, and how we look at his downfall and the pathway that he's taken. Now this begins at Daniel, the book of Daniel here, but we'll go a little bit behind that because you've got to get the past, and we'll trace the serpent right through the different ages of time, right down here, and then later on he'll be in the bottomless pit, and then he's brought up to his final judgment, which is the lake of fire. The final destiny of Satan has already been marked out, and it is the lake of fire. And of course, his tremendous design and deception and work and activity is all with a view to taking everybody with him to the lake of fire. That's the ultimate destiny he wants for the human race. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. I'm glad that we're going to look at the Lord Jesus. But tonight we'll look at the pathway of the serpent and look at some of the characteristics that mark him and in association with it. Then when you look at the golden colour here, yellow or golden, then everything associated with this colour is to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just point this out at this point. When we think of prophecy, we think of events. But when God's word reveals prophecy to us, it reveals a person. It's really all about him. It's really all about him. It's about the Savior, about the Redeemer, about the coming Lord and the coming King during the millennial reign, and of course the bridegroom for the church, and all the future events that still are yet ahead is all in relation to him. And the reason why everything is in relation to him is because he came down and he went to the cross. And the cross is the central part of God's prophetic program. Everything before it rests upon it. Everything since it goes back to it. And everything from the cross, before and after, is dependent upon the sacrifice he made. Not only his sacrifice, but his glorious resurrection. That is vital to the whole of God's future program and everything related to that. So you can follow the yellow right through the different aspects of truth as we go through it. And we'll say a little about that one of these evenings. Tomorrow evening we're going to take a look at the book of Daniel, and particularly the image of Daniel and these four beasts of Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to look at the coming of the great world empire that's still to come, that will dominate the world during the great tribulation days, which is after the rapture of the church and before the Lord Jesus comes back to the earth, the Mount of Olives. This period of time, which is regarded in the Bible as a time that there's never been like it before it, and there'll never be anything like it after, when God's judgments come upon the scene. And there's a lot of characteristics, of course, that mark the great tribulation days, and this world stage is getting set for that. Right now is getting set for that. It's interesting that, can I throw this in at this point, but it's interesting that just before the Lord Jesus comes back again in power and great glory, there are certain characteristics that mark the world then. And Matthew 24 is a good chapter to read in relation to the fulfillment, as it were, of what the Lord Jesus said in relation to his disciples when he asked the question, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so he begins to unfold, and of course he deals with famine. And pestilence, disease, earthquakes. Well, we're in the 21st century, aren't we here? This has been a horrific 5 years since it came in. The world's never known events like it. And while no prophecy is for the church, prophecies in relation to his coming, it's coming in quickly and swiftly, like the thief in the night, and the world outside in the darkness doesn't know anything about it. Our political leaders haven't the answer for it, and they're coming together and one night when we look at the Great Tribulation in particular, we'll see some of the things that are even happening in the world today, very close to this time frame being set up very shortly. But we're going to go out of it before it begins. I believe in the rapture of the church before the great tribulation days begin. And I'll give you my reasons for that as we go along and we deal with that. And so we're looking at these colours. Now in relation to the blue, you'll notice the blue here, for the most part, apart from the blue, we'll look at that in a different context. But it's in relation to the nation of Israel. So tomorrow night we're going to look at the book of Daniel, and particularly the Gentile nations. The book of Daniel was written with a view to bringing the prophetic truth to bear upon the nations in relation to Israel. When you come to the other major prophecies, Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and the minor prophets, they are viewed in relation to Israel and the nations. The opposite way around. Everything, of course, is in relation to that. And so we'll touch a little bit Israel. And so we have the remnant of Israel. When I say the remnant, that's the remnant that came up after the days of the Babylonian captivity. God has always worked in the past with the remnant people. And God will have a remnant people during the great tribulation, the remnant of Israel that will be saved out of the great tribulation days, because the great tribulation days is really all about the nation of Israel and the Lord Jesus and his relationship to it. In this period in which we're in, which is the dispensation of the grace of God, then you'll notice that Israel is blinded, and we'll say a little bit about that the evening that we're going to discuss on Tuesday night in relation to Israel. Wednesday night we'll look at the church and also her heavenly role in glory, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's a wonderful time that is ahead for every believer in the Lord Jesus just before he comes back to return. And then Thursday evening we're going to look a little bit, we're going to come back to the tribulation days. Now you might think I'm jumping things, but I want to make that very clear. We're going to follow things through in a pattern, because the rapture of the church takes place before the great tribulation days, but while we're in heaven, then the great tribulation days begin on earth, and we'll come back to see what's happening on the earth while we're in heaven. That's if you're saved. That is, if you're not saved, you don't know the Savior, you'll be going through this awful time, and there's no hope for you and no salvation for you if you reject the gospel of his grace. And then, of course, we're coming into the millennial glory of the Lord Jesus and the eternal state. We'll ultimately get there, I hope, by Friday evening, and we'll touch a little bit along the way. And so the blue deals with the remnant character of Israel, the saved of Israel, that way, the saved of Israel during the great tribulation days, Israel coming into the land, becoming the head of the nations, all that will be associated with the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, we have the red here, which is Israel blinded. Where you see the red, it is always associated with unbelief, rebellion, and apostasy. During the Great Tribulation, there will still be apostate Israel. Israel's in apostasy today. That means that they are not in the fulfilling the purposes of God. They're in opposition to God. Even though they might be going through the ritual of their Judaistic ways, they're still out there in the cold, as it were, and in apostasy. And of course, when you look at unbelief and apostasy, it ultimately ends, its destiny is heading for the lake of fire. Everyone that does not believe in the Lord Jesus, every apostate condition, that means those that seem to be outwardly right but they're inwardly wrong, they will find their ultimate destiny in the lake of fire. So that's the red. Then we have the green, which is the times of the Gentiles. Now that's the nation of Israel. As I said, we'll deal with that in the book of Daniel. And the times of the Gentiles spring from Nebuchadnezzar's day, the great Babylonian Empire, and will ultimately end at the end of the great tribulation days with the coming of the Lord Jesus as King. And of course, then the saved will go into the nations, will go into the millennial, and ultimately to the eternal state. Just a little broad aspect of this beautiful chart as we go through it, and hopefully once we start to work our way through, we'll see some great truths associated with it that will help us to understand that we're not taken by surprise. We should be the most blessed people on the earth, that we have an understanding of things that our politicians don't know, that our world leaders don't know. And they're making decisions by the minute, changing laws, doing this way and that way, thinking that they're making forward the progress of humanity, and all the time they're only fulfilling what God has said that they would do. They're fulfilling the things that the Word of God reveals that will happen. And so we're seeing these things happening in a very quick and urgent way today, I believe, because maybe before we get to tonight, everyone that's saved here will be gone. That's the hope. That's the hope that burns. The light that shines. And the hope that burns. And it all comes through one glorious person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Do you know Him? If you do, love Him more. Seek to serve Him better. And if you don't know Him, make it your business today to get to know Him. Whom to know is life eternal. Father, we thank Thee this morning, just for a little introduction as we go into these wonderful truths that Thy Word opens up for us. And we thank Thee for the purposes that You have wrought out in eternity past, brought into time and revealed in Thy Word. We thank Thee this morning that we have a light that shines in the dark place. That light that's getting brighter for us who are saved, as the days get darker for those that are lost. And we thank Thee that still Thy mercy and Thy grace is reaching out to those that are perishing in their sins. Maybe today some precious soul will come into the blessing and the joy of their sins forgiven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray for those of Thy people who are maybe passing through difficult times. And again, this is a hope that comes to us, that hope that is a blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That hope that comes alive to us, as Peter reminds us, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. And because He is alive, these things are true, and these things will be fulfilled. And we wait with expectation to hear His voice that will summon us into His presence and to be forever with the Lord. We pray that these times together, as we come together, may be used of Thyself. Give us a sense of Thy presence. We realize, our Father, that we are just the recipients of it by Thy gracious Holy Spirit. And we pray for its effect in every heart and every life. Bless this gathered company, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for listening so patiently this morning.